This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Tom Gamble, organizer of the annual Crosstown Showdown, is in the front row with Betsy Ross to take a look at local high school football.
If you're a football fan, boy, Greater Cincinnati is the place for you, especially for the high school scene. For years now, this area has been blessed with some of the best high school teams in both Kentucky and in Ohio. And the guru of high school football around here is Tom Gamble. Really has worked very, very hard over the last few years to develop the Crosstown Showdown, which has become the showcase of so many high school teams around here. Tom, thanks for being with us in the front row.
Betsy, no problem. Any chance I get to talk high school football, I'm all good to go.
I know. It's a good day, isn't it, when you can
it
talk
is.
Football?
It's a great day. Yes, indeed.
Well, before we get into kind of the specifics about the scene of high school football here in the area, as I say, you have really worked to develop the Crosstown Showdown to become a multi-venue, multi-day event around here. Where did the idea for that come?
You know, Betsy, I tell you, it's probably back when I was many years ago as a sports reporter, high school sports editor for the Cincinnati Post at the time, and there were a couple of events that kind of pitted kind of local schools against schools from around the country, and I had the pleasure of covering those events, and I noticed one thing: lots of fans on one side, nobody on the other side, and I thought, you know, we certainly here have good enough high school football. And the fan bases are incredible. Why don't we just build our own showcase? Why do we need to bring in these teams from outside Greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky? Let's try to do it where we can have great rival-based games to kick off the year here. And we started back in 1998 with two Friday night doubleheaders because at the time the college season started earlier, the playoffs had yet to expand in high school, so we had to do two Friday nighters. And if somebody had told me that this past August, last month, we'd have had 21 games, 42 schools, and it's grown. Some people think I'm crazy, but it's a lot of fun, and we've included a lot of – we now have Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, Dayton. If somebody had said it'd get that big, I'd say you're crazy. But, Betsy, not only is it still fun and still strong, but I'm getting calls now from teams who've never been in it, who have gone to games, and as long as there's still that – level of interest from area schools, which is at its all-time high today, we'll keep doing it.
And why do you think there is that interest? I mean, you're always going to get the parents, and you're always going to
sure.
get the kids who go to that particular school. But, I mean, there are more people than that that go to the high school games. Why do you think there is such that interest here?
Good question. I think there's a couple reasons. One, I think if you look at a lot of the schools, in particular, a lot of them, I'll use the GCL, the Greater Catholic League, the Elders, the Molars, the X's, the alumni base is so strong. There's still that connectivity. So I think you have that. I think you also, this is a unique part of the country where when somebody says, where did you go to school? If you answer with your college or university you attended, they say, no, your high school. I just think it's neighborhood-based, it's community-based. I mean, you look, and I'll go back, you look at Colerain against St. Axe. I mean, you know, those schools are located just a couple miles apart. By the end, that game was sold out. It's good football. We're a very community-based, neighborhood-driven area in this region. I think that's got a lot to do with it.
And you touched on one good point that I think that is very important, no matter what level of sports you're talking about, that if you don't win, people won't show up. But the strong programs here have, I think, one thing in common. They have a coach who has been there for quite some time. I think that in this area, there are a number of legendary coaches who been at schools for a long time, and even some great coaches who maybe were at one school for a long time, then they went to another school for a long time. But there's that consistency.
Well, there is. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to give credit to, I think what we have here today, too, is, you know, you can look at games on a given Friday night and there's a lot of different teams that can win. I don't think that was the case. You know, you go back to the 70s and you basically had Molar with Jerry Faust, Princeton with Pat Mancuso.
Mm-hmm.
They were without a doubt the dominant programs. In fact, usually when they played the final week at Nippert Stadium, the winner made it to the playoffs back in when only one team made it. Now we at least have eight, and I'm talking at the big school Division I level. But here's what I think happens. The other programs look to Molar and Princeton back in the day and go, okay, we got a couple options here. We can keep getting our butts kicked, or we can work harder and get better and join them. And I think that's what's happened, and I think that's what's happened. It's a snowball effect. I think if you look, and even in the Greater Miami Conference, which has absolutely positively been dominated by Colerain, but now Sycamore and Scott Dottillo, Troy Everhart at Middletown. You know, now you look around and the year that the start of Lakota West and Larry Cox. I mean, there are different schools, even Lakota East. I mean, there are now more schools than ever that are competitive and have a chance to win. You know, the new Eastern Cincinnati Conference, which is all those schools basically east of I-71. You know, great rival games. Kings, Loveland, Turpin, Glen Estee, Anderson. I mean, I just think that it's rivalry-based. And, you know, you look at college football on Saturdays, too. Nobody gets more jacked up than when there's a great rival game, especially when the teams are good. And I think that's the key. The credit for this goes to the football programs. If they weren't as good, not as many people would care.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point there. We are talking with Tom Gamble about high school football here in the greater Cincinnati area and just why it is so strong. And going back to the coaches, we have seen some of the coaches here in our area really get some national recognition, like an Andy Olds, like a Steve Speck.
Yep.
You know, you can even go to somebody like a Kerry Combs, who made that transition from high school to college, and now he's at Ohio State. And I think that that is not only a tribute to what the person, the coach, has done, but really to what that person has done throughout the program. And you mentioned being from Colerain. Colerain is famous for having, like, the same type of offense, the same type of defense that is taught all the way down to grade schools.
Yeah. Oh, no, they have their little cards program. And one thing, Betsy, out in Colerain Township, we don't know anything about a pass. We don't even really know what that is. But, no, you bring up a couple good points, and it was funny. I had a chance. Kerry Combs, who graduated 2 years ahead of me, I've known Kerry, obviously, for a long, long time, and had a chance to go up and visit him this summer up at Ohio State. And it was funny. They were working at a camp, and he kind of motioned me to come out to midfield, and we walked out there, and he just looked at me and he said, look at me, high school football coach, and look at me now. You know, and I think that is a tribute to – people laugh at me when I say this, but I truly mean it. The X's and O's are the same. The high school coaches here are so good. I mean, these are people who could be in the college level, some at the professional level. I mean, I think they're that good. You mentioned Steve Specht. He's the coach of the USA football, the national team. You mentioned Andy Olds at Kings. You just go Jeff Geesting at Anderson. The list goes on and on. And I think that's part of it, too. I mean, coaches try to outwork one another. You know, and I think they take pride, just like the kids who maybe grew up playing together and Jim went to one school and Fred went to another. Coaches are that same way. You know, they take this serious, and they don't want to lose to their rival coach as well. And it's all part of it. You don't have great coaches, you don't have great programs. And you notice another thing, too. They stay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and look at the pressure. I mean, Kerry Combs goes on and to do what he's done. You know, first to the University of Cincinnati, now at Ohio State. And I will go on record. I think someday if the opportunity presents itself, he'll be the head coach at UC. I really think that could down the road be somewhere he wants. And look at Tom Bolden. I mean, people laugh, but think about this, the pressure. And look at the job he's done. I mean, he's 56-8 since taking over. That's a pretty good record.
That is amazing. Well, let's talk about some of the programs. You touched on GCL. You know, usually there are a couple of teams who come out of the GCL who make a run in the playoffs. You know, Moeller's strong this year. We've seen LaSalle make nice runs. Who do you like in this area that you think could go into the postseason?
Ooh, great question. And you know, one of those that's very difficult to answer because you're just, you know, you've got all these league schedules. Clearly right now, I think going into the middle of the season, I think Moeller is very, very good. They're good on both sides of the ball. John Rodenberg's obviously won a state championship at Covenant Catholic. I think Moeller's very good. You know, I still think St. Xavier's good. I think Colerain offensively is about as good as they've ever been. I mean, Alfred Ramsby, their quarterback, Chris Davis, the running back, Hudson at wideout. I think their defense still remains to be seen. The Lakota West, the Sycamores, you know, they still are very, very good, untested, but they will be. You know, you look at Elder, and I mean, you know, when you think about Elder, I mean, you look at last year, people say, oh, Elder was 2-8. Look at their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they play one of the toughest schedules in the country. They still think you have to look at Elder. I think you go with those top three of the GCL South. And LaSalle, you know, the thing about LaSalle is they're a very, very, very good football team every year. It just so happens that three of the games they have to play are Elder, Moeller, and X. So I think, you know, I would tell you, too, I think Turpin, you know, when you look at some of the smaller schools, Turpin, Winton Woods, playing a very difficult schedule is good. I mean, even down to like the Fenwicks, and there's just good football here. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati Hills Christian Academy, you know, depending on how far down you want to go. That's another thing, too. The big schools are so good, sometimes they overshadow the small schools. That doesn't mean they don't have great programs. It's just, you know, there's only so much notoriety to go around. But I think if you had to pin me down as the top couple, Division I, definitively Moeller. I think Colerain is that good, and I think an ex-Elder component can get in there as well. Sometimes, Betsy, we get in a mindset, I'll include myself in this, you take it all for granted
right, of
how good this is and how fun it is to watch this. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention just south of the Ohio River, look at what Highlands has done. I mean, what they have done is absurd in Northern Kentucky, in the state of Kentucky, how good they are.
You're right. We are very spoiled. It is the most wonderful time of the year, as I like to say. Tom Gamble, thanks so much for being with us on the Front Row.
Hey, Betsy, anytime. Thanks.